Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're about to celebrate communion. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul writes this. See, he received this information about, and he gives instruction to the church about orderly worship and what's supposed to happen, because the Corinthian church was having, I mean, they're all new believers and they come from different backgrounds, and some of them Jewish and some of them from other nationalities and pagan backgrounds, and they're blending some things and they're having some trouble when they get together. And so Paul writes these two letters of Corinthians to the church. And one of the things that he passes on to them is what you and I call communion, which we get from the Last Supper when Jesus was with his disciples before he faced his trial and suffering and crucifixion. And in this, he writes this to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 25. I'll start with 23. He says, I received from the Lord what I also deliver to you or pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. Watch this. And when he had given thanks to God, he broke it. And he said to his disciples, he said, this is my body. Now, you got to get the picture here. Gives thanks to God, takes the bread, breaks it, and he's about to give it to them so they can eat it. And he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take it and eat it. Do this in remembrance of me. Then after supper, the same way, he took the cup. And he, after giving thanks, he says, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it and remember me. So as he's doing this, you know, this is a little change in what his disciples were used to, being Jewish and knowing about the Last Supper, and or not about the Last Supper, but about the cedar plate and celebrating Passover. And Jesus, he changes a couple things here. This is new to them. This is falling fresh on their ears. You know, they didn't sit at Passovers and somebody break bread and say, this is my body, or drink this cup and it represents my blood. And so here the disciples are, and as that happens, now it doesn't say this, but I'm just, this is, you know, kind of how we as humanity work. You know, when something is said, you listen to it, and sometimes it triggers a memory, right? You recall something. So as the disciples, I would think that there were at least a few of them there, okay, who are remembering back when Jesus said some things like this before. And you can find it in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. And you will find things where, and in John, and where Jesus said, a person must eat my flesh and drink my blood. The reference that I'm going to go to is in John chapter 6, and it's 52 through 58, and I want to read this to you. I want to reference this to you because this is an occasion where, after he says this and teaches this, a lot of disciples, because he had a lot of disciples following him around, but a lot of disciples, they left him over this. I mean, put yourself in their sandals for a moment. You're following somebody around. You're becoming a big fan of theirs. In fact, you're starting to tell other people about who you're following and the things he does and the things he teaches and how he treats people, and you're bragging about him. And then you're there, and all of a sudden, he throws you this big curveball. Basically, I'm going to paraphrase. We'll read it. Paraphrase. If you're going to make it, if you're going to go and be with God, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Whoa, 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 whoa. See, you and I have the privilege of looking back. We see what unfolded already, and we look back, and we get a little glimpse of, oh, this is what he meant. And that's what they misunderstood. Would you listen to this in John chapter 6? The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He's saying this to a crowd, but certainly to the religious leaders, who are the ones who are supposed to have spiritual life in them, right? They're supposed to bring spiritual life to the people. And they're questioning him on this, and he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. It's one of the hard teachings of Jesus. See, he says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me or abides in me, and I remain or abide in him, her, in that person. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he will also live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate who died. Now, he's talking about bread, how God fed Moses and the Israelites. God provided manna from heaven. Now, they ate it, and it helped them, but they died. And Jesus says, it's not like that bread. It's not like physical bread. This is spiritual bread. This is for eternal life. This isn't so you last a few days here on earth. This is about eternity, timelessness with God. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread, talking about himself, whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And he went on and he taught about these things. You read on, you'll find out that a lot of the disciples, the followers of him, just could not understand, couldn't grasp this. Their mind was on the flesh. It was earthly thinking. They're thinking about, you know, I don't know, cannibalism for all intents and purposes. They're thinking, this is crazy teaching. We're not going to eat this man. We're not going to drink his blood. And Jesus is talking about, you see, he's talking about this, what you and I celebrate today in this bread. It is not his flesh. Here, this is a cracker without yeast in it. And that drink is the fruit of the vine. We use grape juice. Unless you happen to get one that tastes funny, it just means it's been sitting around for a while. So, if you get one of those, sorry. I've got one of those before. Tasted a little funny. But you're okay. I was able to walk straight and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you don't have to worry about it. Or it's good. Jesus teaches this. And this bread, it represents Jesus' body. Now, I want you to understand the significance about that. when you eat this bread, you believe upon Jesus and you eat this bread, we know that it's broken for us, but there's a declaration about this bread. And it means this, that you believe that Jesus Christ came in human form. He came in the flesh. That's a very important truth and doctrine. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He sent him. He was born of a virgin. He took on human likeness, became acquainted with the hardship of humanity. And you and I go, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're not just some God out there somewhere. You came. You put skin on like me. You know how hard this life can be. And you came. You're acquainted with our sorrows. You're acquainted with temptation. Of course, he overcame. He was always making a way for you and I. Always. He's making a way for you. But there's a declaration when you eat this bread, and it's that you believe in the doctrine that Paul writes about, the incarnate Christ, that he is the Son of God, but he is also the Son of man. He wasn't born by the will of man. He was born by the will of God. He was the only begotten of God. He was the seed of God, the Spirit of God that came upon Mary, and he was born to a woman, a mother. See, there's a declaration that he came in the flesh. And I'll tell you why that's important. Not just doctrinally and because it's in the Scripture and because it's true. You have to remember, what happened after the crucifixion? He rose again. They could touch him. This wasn't a phantom or some lie or building some case. He rose from the dead and people saw him. They touched him. They could hear him. He listened to them. He cooked them breakfast. That's why it's important. This blood, this cup, you have to remember what the writers of Hebrews said. There is no forgiveness. Now think about this. Think about there was no forgiveness available to you. You and I are doomed. We have no hope. We have no future. No forgiveness. Hebrews says, there's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Amen. It takes blood, pure blood, his blood. Not my blood. I was born in sin because I was born to the will of a man and a woman who were born in sin. They came from sinful grandparents of mine and great-grandparents. You see, all of us, we're born into sin. We're born of humanity. And that is why Jesus says you must be born again of the Spirit, because you've been born of the flesh. And you and I, we are born flawed. Beautiful Amelia this morning. She's still in here with Daddy. He's a good daddy. Caleb, way to go! Wherever you are. Sweet little Amelia. You see her up here? She's running. We're laughing. She's so cute. Little sinner. I'm not condemning her. She's covered by the faith of her parents, Paul teaches, until she comes to her own place of being able to decide. So that's you and I. See, Amelia has to be born again. Faith in Christ, a new life. That's what this is. That's what's recognizing this. you eat this bread, it doesn't turn into his flesh in your body, and you drink this fruit of the vine, it does not turn into blood. You and I can drink this and eat this, and if we have no regard for Christ, we do it in vain. But for those who acknowledge Christ, those who recognize his broken body and his blood and what it represents, we remember him. It talks about to remember him. Remember him. He is the Savior. He's come. And he taught, eat my flesh and drink my blood. So here the disciples are at Passover, and Jesus put what becomes the Last Supper, and he says this. They go back to some scripts. Oh, Jesus talked about this. He talked about this. See, he's coming to one of his final hours. We're to eat the bread and drink of the cup. We're to eat his body and drink his blood, because we put faith in him. It's what brings eternal life to us. It's what brings value to what's in here, because we remember him and our faith is engaged and our faith is expressing and we remember him. Jesus, he said, this is you eat my body, you take me, the bread of heaven, one of his titles, the bread of heaven. It's spiritual. We eat his word, right? Bread of heaven. We eat his word. We eat God's word. We eat the teaching and who Jesus is. We eat that. It feeds our soul. It feeds our spirit. It strengthens even our body, our whole being. We drink the blood because we know his blood is the only blood that gives forgiveness. When you go down to verse 66 and it says that it was a hard teaching and people didn't understand it, and some of his disciples left, and he looked at the 12, he said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter, the Lord reveals something to him, and Peter says, Lord, where else are we going to go? You alone hold the words of life, bread of life. You alone are what we can eat of that will bring us life, eternal life. You see, there's a contradiction. We eat the bread of life, or Jesus warned us, says, you beware. In the three of the Gospels, he says, you be aware of the yeast of the Pharisees. What's that yeast go in? It goes into bread or dough, right? And it spreads through the whole army. He talks about, you beware of that. Now, he wasn't talking about, hey, don't eat the bread, the literal bread that one of the religious teachers bake. He's talking about meaningful things. He says, don't eat, don't take in, don't follow, don't believe in the yeast, or watch out for it in the Pharisees. It's Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to reference this for us. Matthew 16, and you could read it. It's like verse 6 through verse 12. And I'm going to highlight this. Verse 12, it says, then they understood that he did not tell them to be aware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees, or the hypocrites. It's about don't eat in, don't take in the vain philosophies, the false teaching. Don't take that in. That will not bring you life. Rather, eat the bread of heaven, Jesus. Drink his blood. That teaching, those words of life, they will bring life. If you remain eating him, he remains in you. You remain in him. He said, don't eat that other teaching. Don't eat that bread. Don't drink the drink they offer. No, you eat my flesh. You drink my blood. You take in the teaching, the words of God that bring life to you and can bring life to others. You see, here's the question. You and I, what are we feeding on? Are we feeding upon the philosophies of this world? Are we feeding on something else? Are we trying to take something that is flawed and corrupt? And are we taking that in to, we think, nourish us? That will change our thinking. It will change how we make decisions. It will change how we live life. Are we altering even His Word? Or are we taking the purity of His Word and the purity of Jesus, and that's what we feed on? That's what brings you life in this life, and it will nourish you and bring you eternal life. Life as we don't know it yet. Eternity. Are we feeding on His Word? We drink His blood. See, there's a second part to this. It's what are we feeding on, but also this. Who are we keeping company with? Are we keeping company with Jesus? Are we choosing to follow? Are we listening to Him? Do we feed on His words of life that bring us hope and strength and all that we need in this life and lead us home into the next? Or are we just kind of bumping into Jesus a little so we feel like we're still around Him? But we're keeping company with others. What's the Scripture say? Listen to this. What's the Scripture say? 1 Corinthians 15. Do not be deceived. Say the word deceived. Deceived. Now, you know, people who are deceived, they actually don't know that they're deceived. Which means they think they're in the truth. Listen, he says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good character or good morals. What are you feeding on? It's connected to who am I keeping company with? You know, this was just always a heavy hitter when I was a teenager, you know? Who are you hanging out with? Are they going to be a good influence on you or a bad influence on you? Oh, I'm strong in my faith. Next thing you know, temptation, compromise, 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 a little more, and now you are so far from where you started, and we go, oh my goodness, how did this happen? How do sheep get lost? One clump of grass at a time. Right? Little by little leads me over here. And we look up and it's where'd the flock go? Where'd the shepherd go? But this isn't just a message to teenagers anymore. This is a message to you and I. Who are we keeping company with? You might say, hey, wait a minute, Pastor. I know we're supposed to get together with Christians, but, you know, look at Jesus. He hung out with sinners. Yeah, I know, because I is one. But there is a distinct difference between evangelism, discipleship, and friends. All of them are biblical, and Jesus did them all. Evangelism is meant to reach somebody, share the gospel with them. They're not at a place of discipleship. And you might feel like they're your friend, and to some degree probably, but when we're talking about the three distinctions for the relationships that you and I should have, evangelism is part of it. Hey, I hang out with people outside the faith. I do. And we want to be a light. But I am not thrown in with them. Because now, bad company corrupts the good that God has placed in here, and I could sacrifice that. So I must understand the distinction of evangelism. You know, we had something, and you've probably heard this, you know, when I was a teenager, they told us, you know, no missionary dating. You know what that means? That means, I don't know, young guy, Christian, sees a girl. She's pretty attractive in the person's eye. We think, oh, but they're not a Christian. So we were told, mm-mm. Yeah, but she's really nice. She's not like even this horrible sinner person. So we start to see the compromise, okay, right? And then you got a couple of buddies going, oh, yeah, dude, ask her out. Christian buddies. Yeah, go, yeah. Yeah. Now you're getting encouragement. And you talk to her. And of course, she really goes for you. You can laugh at that. Like, so you know you're going on a date. Then go on another date. Then you're going to a high school dance. Come on up here, brother. Come on. Yeah, you. Yeah. Going to high school dance. Now you're not doing this. This ain't the... I didn't grow up in the 1930s. I grew up in the 1970s and 80s. Keep your hand up here, boy. You're like, oh, honey, please don't go any further. Yeah, I know. She's interceding for me right now. Oh, God, keep his mouth shut. Help him move on. Yeah, that's missionary dating. Well, we use the excuse that, well, I'm a Christian, she's not, or vice versa. Okay, yeah, you need to listen to this. Okay, you talk it over with him. Yeah. I didn't bring the moves. I don't want to embarrass you with, you know. White boy's got better moves than you. I just, you know. Anyhow. There'll be a dance-off in the parking lot right after that. So now, Christian guy dates, you know, non-Christian girl. Well, I'm going to do this. And, you know, I'm going to do this so that I can reach her for Jesus. That's missionary dating. The Bible talks to me about... It is not right. Don't get yoked, a believer and an unbeliever. I want you to know that it just starts to lead you down a path. Well, I'm not yoked yet. We're just dating. We're just laughing. We're just having fun. And yeah, you invite her to church. The Bible says... What does the house of God have in common with the house of Baal? What does darkness have in common with light? The answer is nothing, by the way. What is common between a Christian and an unbeliever? Evangelism is evangelism. Missionary dating, it's out of bounds, I'm just telling you. And I don't care if you're a teenager. I don't care if you're a single adult in this room. You honor His word. Honor His word. Honor His word. Don't buy into the philosophies of this world. And evangelism is evangelism. And discipleship, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it's about those who are showing faithfulness and growing in their faith. They are already converted. Those you entrust with more things of the gospel, because they will continue to be a light, and they will continue to grow, and they will continue to develop, and they will continue to be inspired by the Lord because they're hanging out with Him. They're not doing missionary dating with other philosophies other than the truth of the gospel. And Jesus gets to a point with His disciples, He says, you're no longer servants. You're My friends. You're My friends. He says, when we're friends, we share personal things. I have shared with you My personal business. You don't share your personal business with strangers. Please, please don't share your personal business with strangers. You see, there's a distinction. Jesus lived those distinctions before us. So the question is, what are you eating? What are you feeding on? What teaching? What philosophy? And who are you hanging around with? Who are you keeping company with? Now, I know some of you, there's a chance in here, someone who's going to listen online or the sermon, you know, when it's recorded down the road, they say, oh, I dated my spouse, we dated, and he wasn't a Christian, but he became one. Hallelujah, God's grace and mercy has blessed you even in your disobedience. Hey, I'm not throwing stones at you. I was disobedient. Not her, she was a believer. I know God does miracles and does things on our behalf, even in our disobedience, because He's good and He loves and He cares. But when we have the knowledge and understand something, you and I are responsible for it. That's just a fact. Well, I don't like that. It makes me uncomfortable. Well, grow up. Well, don't laugh quietly. Somebody just say, yeah, that's right, amen. Okay, five of you. That's good. It's growing. It's like a tidal wave, right? Listen, you ask yourself this. What am I really feeding on? And who do I keep company with? Keep evangelism, discipleship, and friendship clear in your mind. Jesus lived them out for us. Listen, bad company, false teaching, bad philosophies corrupts good. When you keep good company, Jesus, He redeems the corrupt. It's the opposite. Corruption ruins the good. Jesus, the good, He'll redeem corruption. Redeems you and I. So the two questions are, what am I really feeding myself on? What am I nourishing me on? Do I listen to the purity of the truth? Am I feeding myself with the Word? Am I allowing the Holy Spirit to disciple me? Am I connected to other disciples? I still need to have relationships through evangelism, through discipleship, and friends. You can come up, Chelsea. Thank you. And the second thing is, who am I hanging around with? This is a hard teaching by Jesus. Are you and I really eating the bread of heaven? Or are we kind of nibbling on it but having some other stuff? Don't compromise this. Amen. This will save you. This will save you. The pure bread of life. It's amazing to think that you can have a copy and hold it in your hand. That you can read it whenever you want. There's places that, places around this world, they don't have that. I don't know what you struggle with inside, but the old phrase is true. He's the answer. He's full of grace. He's full of truth. Why don't you just come to him? Just come to him. Be honest with him. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, before you eat the bread and drink the cup, what we call communion, it says we're supposed to examine ourselves. Take a look. Maybe this morning we need to take a look and say, am I really eating his word? Or is it just kind of sitting around? Or am I feeding myself on other things? See, if you feed yourself on this and listen to the news, you won't get all, ugh. But if you don't read this and you just listen to the news, you're going to be, ugh. Feed on this. Doesn't mean you can't watch the news, but I'm telling you, feed on this. This is our staple. And in turn, who do I keep company with? Do I evangelize? The answer better be yes. Secondly, who's discipling me and who am I discipling? Who in my life are we're growing because we sharpen each other? And who are my friends that I can share personal business with? Who you can trust.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.